John chapter 4, please. John chapter 4. I'll give some of these to, to Mr. Isaac right there. Thank you, Mr. Hall. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. By the way, are the points big enough? You all think you'll be able to read it? I'm getting blinked. All right, let's all stand, please. John chapter 4. We have this lovely family coming in, so I'm going to wait till they get here. Well, I see Mia at the beginning, so that's lovely. Then, unfortunately, Rolando. Listen, do not feel sorry for Rolando, please. You don't know the abuse he gives me, so don't go there. All right, friends, we're going to talk about something tonight. There's only one person in this room has ever heard any of this. He is seated or standing to my right, your left. His name is the Big B. I need to say before I begin, what I'm going to preach tonight, I try to practice, but I fail with at least, I have to try to be honest with myself, one, two, three people that are part of our church. Now, you're not going to guess who it is, so don't go down the road. I say I fail at least to some degree with three people. One of them was here for the piano recital and almost ran me over trying to run away from me Monday night. Rarely have I ever been run over. So I'm going to admit to you there are three people that I don't practice this with. Look at me. At least pieces of this well. Second thing I want to admit, because I don't, you know, I'm just who I am. There are people in this room that are better than me at this. If you need me to mention Cliff's name, that means you have been looking at yourself in the mirror your whole life. And you look at the world through a mirror. Because there are people that are good. Really good at it. Now, can I say this? Everybody, I don't care what your personality is. The teaching and commands of Scripture are for all people, regardless of personality. If I do those extrovert introversion tests, I am just slightly on the right side of extroversion. Barely. Makes no difference. So these teachings, which, by the way, this is very simple. But I put this together for high school students, but I'm also putting it together for us because of politics and because of other things, we sometimes get stupid. John chapter 4, verse 3. He left Judea. Judea is in the south. And he departed again into Galilee, but you can't just walk to Galilee. In order to get to Galilee, you have to go through, or you have to cross the Jordan River, go north up the Jordan River in modern-day Jordan, and then cross back across the Jordan into Galilee. So it says in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. That does not mean that he had to physically go there. There was some kind of purposes for reason he had to go there. Then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which would be? Sixth hour? Noon? It was about noon. So you're talking in a sunny place. That's not the hottest of the day, but it's getting pretty warm. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy food of some variety. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. By the way, tonight's so simple. Can you read the points? But yet, not. Because there are people in this room and in this church that have a hard time greeting other people. I'm talking about other Christians. For 1,000 reasons. Guilt. We despise certain people. All kinds of reasons. Well, then how in the world do we ever deal with unsaved people? That's what we're going to talk about. Just general interactions tonight. This has something to do with Sunday school. We talked about Marxism, which Marxism breaks people up into groups. We're going to deal with the group stuff. All of this will be, but just all application tonight. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Bless our time now in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I have a question. It is not exactly a rhetorical question, but it kind of is. If you had opportunity to live your life over again, what would you change? Judy, I know what you would change. You would never get on that motorcycle. All right, everybody look at me. I'm asking you a serious question. What would you change about your life if you could, not what somebody did to you, what you have done yourself? I know the one big thing I would change. I grew up in 70s fundamentalism. Now, Mike is the gentler, kinder, better person than me. 70s fundamentalism was exceptionally antagonistic. Do you all know what antagonistic means? You were against everybody, even your whole family. Because of that, if there was one thing I wish I could change, I wish I could go back to about age 19, 20, and simply be less antagonistic towards everybody. Well, what I want to do tonight is just say some broad things about people. Meet, greet, and treat. I think it's pretty easy to memorize, isn't it? My first bullet point is simply this. Meet people proactively. Meet people proactively. Do you know what that means? Everybody look at me. I look around this room. Everybody, stick with me. Mutia, is she an extrovert or an introvert? Introvert. I love her, known her for a couple of weeks now. I think since she was 21 and she's 21 and a half now. Can I say this? I do not care if you're an introvert. The Bible is the Bible for all of us. Yes, some people are extroverts, but actually some extroverts are not going to obey the scripture either, because some extroverts, they walk into a room and what do they want to talk about? By the way, I cannot talk to a person that wants to talk about themselves. You'll figure that out about me. I do not have the ability to talk to a person that every time you talk to them, they're talking about themselves. I cannot do that. But friends, whether you're an introvert or more extroverted, Robert's not a super extrovert, but he's more extroverted. Robert, you don't even hold a candle to your mother's extroversion, correct? Your mother was a crazy woman once I got to know her. Ms. Extroversion. We all have to meet people. How do you meet people? Proactively, which means this. Hey, look up here. We're real distracted on something easy. We take charge of how we meet people, as opposed to we bump into people, bump into life, wondering where we're at, what we're doing, and therefore we're always back on our heels. We ought to be in charge of how we think about meeting people. Now, are you going to meet people? Are all of those people going to be nice to you? Actually, go to any government-run agency, just about. Sorry. It's almost like, what are you doing here? I needed to come and, you know, whatever. Friends, you're going to meet a lot of people. You must learn to meet people and do so proactively, which means you take charge of that conversation. So, you go any place you are. My uncle told me a story. Terrible story. We grew up in Illinois. I think everybody knows that. That's my family roots. My uncle in 1952, 53, 54, I'm not sure the year, somewhere in there, joined the U.S. Army. Uncle Kook, by the way. Franklin, but nobody would, if you called Franklin, nobody would know who that is. Kook. Uncle Kook told me a story that he went into the United States Army and got stationed in Mississippi. He got on a bus, because he didn't have a car, he was in the military, got on a bus to go someplace, and by the way, he is, say it with me, what state is he from? He got on a bus in Mississippi in the 1952, 53, 54, got on the bus, and the whole front of the bus was empty. And there was and the whole back of the bus was filled. And there was a lady at the very edge of the back of the bus standing up holding like a bag and holding her baby. Now, in my family, you were taught to respect women especially. So if you had a seat, you would get yourself out of that. By the way, this is being proactive. Uncle Kook said, I just said to the lady, ma'am, you sit here in my seat. I'll stand up. And the woman panicked. Why? She was black. And she was not allowed to sit in the front half of the bus. And that stuck with my uncle, by the way, for nearly six, well, it has been, it's been over 60 years. He did not know you mistreated people because of color. By the way, you meet people proactively, which means you and I, as Christians, go out just like Jesus. Here's this woman, it's like, what? You're talking to me? Why would you talk to me? I'm a Samaritan. By the way, this is our problem. We have a hard time being proactive in how we meet other people. Now, I say again, I'm not the best in this room. Cliff's the best. Outside of my father is as good as anybody I ever met. He is good at meeting people in a positive, kind way. And, oh, by the way, may I say this, without being creepy. There are people that meet others that are very inappropriate and creepy. You know, like, no, I won't go there. Just, but he's proper. My father would meet everybody, and I'm not that good. But I think it's important. Number two, greet people. I want to ask you a question. How do you like it when you come into a room and someone greets you? Answer the question. Most every place we like people to greet us. By the way, it seems to be natural and normal to greet people. Now, in the Bible, you have two different sides, actually different Greek words, but that's not important. The first one actually is found more in letters, and it's a specific variety. Acts 15:23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Those are Roman areas, especially Syria and Cilicia were Roman provinces. And they send greeting. That's a really weird word in Greek. It just means joy. Which is like, huh? But I think it's one of the many words that we use like this. You see the same in Acts 23:26. Claudius Lysias unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greeting. Same thing again, and it's just, it's a word that means joy, but maybe people will say it means rejoice. Or how about this? Be happy. Or be glad. Or can I say it in a totally, you know, paraphrase way, have a good day. So in a letter, you just greeted somebody. You gave them greetings. 2 Timothy 4:21, and by the way, I'm not going to write this down. Romans 16 has about 50 of these. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brother. That's a different word, but it means to greet formally someone. James 1:1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. You have a little different kind of concept of greeting people who are closer to you. I've already told you, please don't practice this on me. Salute one another with a holy... Everybody look at me. In Greek, this is what that means. Look at me. It means this. It means a holy this, or it means a holy this. If you kiss me, Jamie, don't even... Karn will never have to worry about killing you because I will. By the way, have I been in cultures that kiss? Oh, do not go to Franco's church. Those Haitians like to kiss. Those Haitians kiss you on both cheeks. And the women have sticky stuff. So when they hit, they don't kiss you. They put their, and then their cheek kind of peels off of you. But, by the way, when you leave there, you know one thing. You know what you know? You have been loved. You've been greeted. By the way, meet people proactively means this. Please look at me. You are always in charge and responsible for how you interact with people. Secondly, greet them positively and warmly. In some fashion, learn to greet people positively or warmly. Now, you say, what does that mean? Let me give you three simple concepts. You ready? In America, if you do it in India, be prepared. In America, it normally means reasonably a smile. Not a fake smile, not that televangelist smile where they've had surgery, but just actually smile at people. Have you ever walked into an office and you get the office grump? We don't have any of them here, of course, Pastor Cohen. They walk into the office and the first thing they do is gripe because their favorite creamer is not in the refrigerator. By the way, that's their greeting to everybody. Why don't we have creamer? Tim, I think we probably should shut down the whole coffee mess in the whole school. You know what, sister? You would be wrong. That's the problem. Lots of people play that game of why aren't... By the way, I get tired of hearing grumping. I actually like to hear someone say good morning. Smile. Here it is. Good morning are words. Smiling is greeting somebody. Doesn't have to be a, you know, Cheshire greeting. Complaining, whine. By the way, complain about, here you go, what you don't have, that you're sleepy. Because God knows you're the only sleepy person on all of the earth. Do you realize how foolish? By the way, don't worry about me. I don't care about me. Go out into the world and complain about not getting enough sleep for the 400th day in a row and see how your witness goes. There's something wrong with people that we just talk, just gripe. So, greet people, words, smile. I think smiling is kind of important. I think using language is kind of important, seems to be. And then the third one is even nicer. Names. How many people like to be called by their name? Everyone look at me. Do you like people not to know your name? I can remember going to school, and I preferred the professor to know my name. He didn't have to be my friend, but I would like to think that I was a human being worthy of someone calling me by name. I'm not perfect at this, but when I walk through, I pretty much do the same thing. If Emily is in the office, I say, good morning, Jamie, what do I call her? You don't know. You don't listen. Good morning, Miss Wonderful. If I see Bambi, I say, good morning. Miss Not So Wonderful. If I see my daughter, I say, good morning, daughter. By the way, can I already say this? We're already going to start having under the breath because some of us don't like to obey Scripture where it matters. Meet people proactively, greet people by name, with a smile, and if possible, with some language. By the way, not creepy language, and you can use a lot of different language. Hello? works. Hey, works. Good morning, works. Tim, you radically changed the complexion of our whole school by doing something that no one told you to do. And by the way, do you know Tim Kowak is an extrovert? He started going outside and greeting people. Now we got Jamie. Now Jamie is an extrovert. But you, by the way, it's nice for parents. Folks, I can remember coming to meetings in the school as the pastor with people from the outside, and there was obvious hostility in the crowd towards us. Tim, by just changing our attitude towards them, smiling, greeting, on the whole, you just diffuse a room. By the way, it's what the Bible commands. So meet people proactively, greet people positively. Is this hard? Positively and warmly, as much as possible. Or, please talk about you're tired. Please talk about your gripes. Everybody, that really helps people. And can I say that if people do it in a Christian place, they're going to do it every place they go. Sadly. Now, I had a lady said to me one time, Pastor Warren, do you have to teach people this kind of stuff? And my answer is what? Romans 16, the Apostle Paul, hear me, commanded over and over and over and over, I don't even know how many times, to greet or salute, the King James says, same word, greet people. So it seems like people always are a little weird when it comes to people. Jenny, you remember on our second anniversary. Mutia, you're 21 and a half, is that right? My wife is 21 too, but we've been married a long time. On our second anniversary, my mom and dad went with us. They shouldn't have. And they only stayed for a while, and dad had hurt himself and had, what is that called? A hernia. He shouldn't have gone with us. He had to literally in the middle go home and get surgery. We were in the mountains of Kentucky someplace in the morning, and it was cold. It wasn't supposed to be cold, but it was cold in June in mountains of Kentucky. And we were camping out. All I remember is freezing in that little tent we had, getting up the next morning looking for my dad. Dad had gone down to an area where the whole area, there was like a building where you could have coffee. He had coffee and talked to everybody, knew everybody's name, where everybody was from. And I think to myself, here's Christians. Meet people proactively. Greet people positively and warmly. I'm not an example of this. I've already told you. There are at least three people I struggle to do either one of these two with. I can do the third one. These two are hard. It's hard for me to greet people when I know they're doing wrong. That's very difficult. And I don't mean wrong like they have sin. Everybody has sin, by the way, of some variety. I'm sorry, everyone in this room has sin. Even the perfect women have sin. I'm talking about wrongdoing that's impacting families. I struggle. I do. I have a hard time giving people hugs in that variety. Just do. Well, we come to the third concept, treat people. Meet people, greet people, treat people. Romans 14, 12, will you read it with me? So then, every one of us shall give account of what? Himself. What's that mean? Somebody tell me what that means. What, Jim? Me. Yeah, what's a word that we could use for that? You're going to stand before God as an individual. Yes? So, folks, fundamental as a Christian, we treat people as an individual, not a group. You say, why? Why? Because God treats us as individuals. He doesn't treat us as, oh, you're part of that group, that's the bad group, or that's the good group. No, we treat people as individuals. We will all give account of ourselves to God. Look at the Romans passage, or 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians passage. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We all, meaning all of us, that everyone individually may receive the things done in the body according to that he or she hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we treat people as individuals, not as a group. This morning after Sunday school, Sparky came up to me, and I should have used this illustration. It was easier. She immediately said, "You saw that mayor of Boston, didn't you? That had the party, Christmas party for," and I don't know, there was some kind of weird language. They were like aldermen, more or less, in Boston. And she sent out, some idiot sent out an invitation to all of them, but they only wanted the people of color at the party. Which I think is, by definition, racism. And you're like, what? But can I say this, friend? We must, if we're going to change people's hearts and minds, we must treat, by the way, when I look at Cliff, I know he's a Filipino, but I don't treat him as he's one of them. He's an individual with Filipino roots. That's fine. Actually, to know him and love him and appreciate him, I'm going to want to know more about you. But you never treat a person as a group. You treat people as individuals. Do you like to be treated as a group? Oh, you're one of those. Have we ever done that in this country? Yes, we have. Treat people as individuals, as an individual, and not as a group. Obviously, 1 Peter 2:17, a very important verse for me. I just put this all together because I think it's so simple to live this out as a Christian. I think it's simple and profound, and it makes a difference. If we have enough self-awareness to know what we're doing, we meet people proactively. We greet people positively and warmly. I should probably throw in there appropriately, obvious. You know, you ought to be appropriate. I didn't even think about that. I think I better say that because some people are not appropriate. Can I say this? It is appropriate in a church setting like ours, where we have known people for many years, to do side hugs or whatever you want to call them. Is that appropriate at work? Well, probably not. You know, because it's a different setting. Is that appropriate in my family? Well, yes. You know, I give my mom a hug, but that's different settings. You got to be appropriate. And then thirdly, treat people, first of all, as an individual, not a group. Secondly, and I hope you love this text, with dignity and respect. Now, I would say most of our people do this pretty well. We treat people with dignity and respect. The life-changing verse, which I'm not going to preach on tonight because we're going to be done early. Don't you like that? It's a life-changing verse. Folks, I said in Sunday school, sometimes there's a verse, it's like a pebble. You throw it out, it lands in your life, and it just ripples out. It impacts you and other people. If all of us could grasp this verse, honor, and go under the verse how I have it structured like steps. The lowest rung is we honor all men is not in Greek. It just means all peoples, all individuals. We honor people. That's where it begins. We have a higher, deeper relationship with God's people, the brotherhood. We love, we honor and love them. With God, we have the highest relationship. We would honor, love, and fear him. But we would treat the common man as the important man. We honor the king or those that are important, but we would also honor the normal person. Treat people with dignity and respect. Everybody look at me. How do you like this so far? I'm going to ask you a question. Hey, everybody. I'll wait. You think you can repeat the three words when you walk out the door? Meet, greet, and treat. If you have the three words, then you can remember, I treat people as individuals, not groups. I treat people with dignity and respect. How are you going to witness to people? The antagonism, or I don't want to be tainted by those evil people. So it's kind of like here. Here's a track. Or you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. That is not how anybody wants to be treated. The last concept is the most simple concept of all. Matthew 7, please, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, whatever you would, and by the way, it doubles up on language, all things whatsoever, he's really saying the same thing twice, you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. And then Jesus says, for this is the law and the prophets. Meaning much of the law is simply the application of you treat people as you want to be treated. So in your notes, I say this, you treat people as an individual, not a group, with dignity and respect. And lastly, as you would be treated or as you want to be treated. As you want to be treated. As you want to be treated. Or friends, if you want to add something on and I'm done. Let's read Luke 6:31. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's the parallel in Luke. Everyone look at me and I'm done. Lord willing, this week, Wednesday night, I'll be in Springfield, Illinois. Get to see my mom's Saturday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then come home. Can I say this? How do I want my mother treated? I'm asking you a question. That's exactly how everybody else wants their wife, their daughters, their mothers treated. I do not think life is a rocket science. Can I say this? Every week anymore, you cannot watch any news of any source without hearing people shooting each other in road rage. Really? Or getting in fist fights in a line or yelling at a person across the counter about a hamburger. Do you know why? Because even Christians have caught up with this hate. And if they're a different group, look at me. It's all right to hate, right? Hey, let's say it. I'm a conservative. They're a liberal. It's okay to hate them, right? My friends, meet people proactively. Greet people positively, warmly, and I think I would add to that appropriately. And thirdly, treat people. How so? As an individual, you know, with a name, with a background, with a personality. Don't treat them as, oh, you're part of that group. Treat them with honor and dignity, and friends, treat them as you would want whoever. Look at me, I'm done. Whatever the most important person in your life is, you treat them like you would want that person treated. Let me ask you a question. Do you think we can have impact in this city? Hey. No, because there'll be people walk out of here tonight, heard nothing I said, will go right about their business. Or by the grace of God, you'll say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I need to live like one. And if Romans 16 has to command people to greet people, that probably means some of us have good reasons why we never do this. But they're not good reasons. A good reason is this: Jesus had to go through Samaria, and that woman was shocked. But by the way, it was no accident. Jesus did it proactively. And he greeted the woman and he treated her well, even though it was really harsh in the conversation. And he always treated people, even outcasts, with dignity and respect, as you would want to be treated, and as individuals. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable night, we ask in Jesus' name.